Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Last week, we talked about Abraham, and I want to go back over his thing again because I'm going to take it a little different direction, but I want you to see this. If you... This idea that God had Abraham look outside and look at stars to begin to change how Abraham saw things and what was available to him. Genesis, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram, I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' And he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them.' And he said to them, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed the Lord, and he, the Lord, accounted it to him for righteousness." Abram didn't have any children. His wife, Sarah, was unable to have children. They're both now well advanced in years. They're mature. And the Lord said, he told Abram, "I'm your shield and I'm your reward." And Abram just had it's interesting that he would have this kind of confidence to talk to the Lord like this. He just said, "Lord, you haven't given me any kids." And the Lord said, "So I got somebody who is like a slave, but he's, you know, maybe he's close to me. He's the only heir I've got." And the Lord said, "No, you're gonna have someone come from your own body." And he took him outside and he had him look at the stars. If you've ever been in a place where there is no light pollution, man, on a clear night, the sky just opens up. It's beautiful. And he's looking at the stars and he can't count them, but he begins to look at them. I don't think God was playing games. I think God was trying to change something about what Abraham saw. And he began to show him the stars, and Abram believed that, but it began to change an image, because every night he would step out and he would look at those stars and he's thinking, and it began to dawn on him, "I'm going to have this many descendants. This is big." But God was changing what he saw. If you know anything about sports psychology, you know that if you play competitive sports, that right now athletes will hire trainers and they'll hire sports psychologists to work with them. And what they're trying to get them to do is they're trying to get them to begin to see things differently for themselves. Golfers, they will visualize a shot with ball players. It's always a visualization of them seeing something. And you say, "Well, Alan, that's kind of weird. That's New Age." No, this is how we're made up. This is our makeup. What we see impacts us, and how we see things impact us. I was in sales for years. Anybody in sales? I know usually the salespeople find me. Yeah. They don't be embarrassed. It's an honest profession. Okay. How many of you know with salespeople, they're always having motivational things for salespeople? I mean, we were listening to, back in my day, Zig Ziglar and all these guys and all these motivational speakers. He said, "Well, why do salespeople need so much motivation?" Because they deal with measurable results and failure. See, a lot of people deal with, in your job, no one puts how you're doing up on a board. In sales, we put it up on a board. If you're having a lousy week, we all know it. Can't hide from the numbers. Some people, you know you got people where you work, they've been doing lousy for years and they've been hiding it. You can't do that in sales. They'll give you a box, tell you to put your stuff in it, and wave bye-bye to you. And so you deal with that, so you deal with the pressure of that and you deal with rejection. Now here's what they're finding with salespeople. They have to change how they see themselves. And they're always talking to them about how you see yourself. You got to see yourself as getting that sale. You got to see yourself as a winner. You have to see yourself. And you think, "Oh, that's a bunch of hype." No, there's some truth to that. Because if you don't think that you can do it, you're probably right. But if you believe on the inside, I can do this, I can get this, then that's going to make a difference. Abram didn't think he was going to have any kids, and God pulls him outside and said, I want you to look at the stars. You count them, that's how many kids you're going to have. That's how many descendants you're going to have. And something began to change in Abram on the inside. And he began to get a bigger vision. You ever heard that verse that says, without a vision, people perish? Without a vision, you have to have a vision. Do you have a vision for anything better? Do you have a vision? Now, people ask me sometimes, they'll come to me, they go, oh, I know you saw this from the beginning. No, I didn't. I did not see it from the beginning. Here's what I saw from the beginning. This will work. Because we started in the Montessori Center with 27 people. And when we finished, we didn't even have live worship. We had an AOI sound system with a CD on it. And I clicked between some songs because song 12 was... 13 was bad, and I clicked from 12 to 14. If you happened to be singing, you were our soloist for the day. We didn't have it. People say, oh, you saw this big vision. I didn't, but I believed I did. I believe God was in it. I believe it would work. So I had that, and things began to grow. So, well, Alan, why are you even talking to me about this? Because what we see and what we hear impacts us dramatically. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you will come in here sometime on a Wednesday night and you've been like, oh, and when you leave, you feel energized. When you came in here, you feel like, dear God, what a horrible day. When you leave, you feel like, dear God, let's go. I'm not bragging on me. I'm talking about you saw something different. You heard something different. Something impacted you. And what we see and what we hear has a huge impact on us. And so the impact, it can be negative. Now, I used this verse last week. I talked about it in a devotional. It's a powerful verse. It's in 2 Peter. We just finished reading 2 Peter in Bible 365 because at the Ark Church, everybody reads Bible 365. And if he rescued righteous Lot, distressed by the depraved behavior of the immoral, for that righteous man lived among them day by day, his righteous soul was tormented by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. He lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. Most of you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a bad place. I mean, this was a bad place. Their lawlessness, the sexual impurity they had there, it was just, and Lot, who'd been living with Abraham, now he's living in the middle of that. He's seeing this day by day, and it's tormenting. The word torment is interesting. It actually means to torture, to afflict with pain, to harass. Now, my mother-in-law, she's in heaven now, but she came and stayed with us for a little while when her house flooded, and she came and she would stay, and she was one of these people that watched the news all the time. All the time. All the time. Now, if you're one of those people, just look straight ahead, because I don't know you. I'm talking about my mother-in-law. But she watched the news all the time, and she couldn't hear too well. So it was loud. So I'm hearing the news all the time. You know one thing I've determined about the news? If you've got a 24/7 news cycle, you're constantly repeating the same stories over and over and over and over again. And I'm getting angry. I'm walking around the house, I'm angry. I'm like, why am I angry? Because I heard the news, I'm angry. And we wonder sometimes why we're angry or fearful. And the news sells a lot of anger and fear. You know, when hurricanes are coming, after a while, I stop listening to the weather guys. Because they're pumped up, man. This is their time. And if you ever notice, man, they're like, okay, now we could have storm surge that would like, it's going to go all the way to the Woodlands. It's going to cover the Woodlands. And after a while, you just listen to that. It's constant fear all the time. Don't tell me it doesn't impact you. I say, well, Alan, I need to know what's coming. It's coming. I just cut the time. I'd rather pray than sit there and watch them all day going, oh, my God, we're going to die. what we hear and what we see impacts us in a negative way. So here's some questions to ask yourself about what you're seeing and hearing. Now, I'm just going to go with the regular stuff. I'm not going to talk about pornography tonight. I hit that last week. You know it's bad, not good. Don't do it. Enough said. Okay, here's some good questions to ask yourself. Is what I'm watching and hearing helping me advance? Is it helping me advance? Like, there's some things you can watch that'll help you. They'll improve your skills. If you're having to catch on to AI because maybe your industry's being impacted by it, it'd be good for you to find out about that. Be good. Does what you're seeing, does it lift you? Does it feed you? Does it help you? So it's a good question. Is this helping me advance? Here's the next one. Is this hurting or hindering me? Now, one of the things about social media is social media, I think, does some good. I think it does a lot of damage. And I think the damage comes from the comparisons. People are, listen, if you get up and all of a sudden you look and you realize there was a group that got together last night and you weren't invited, that didn't feel good. Or you think you just had a great day and you look on social media and somebody just posted something that made your day look like nothing because they're amazing and everyone in their life is amazing and you are not amazing. And we think about, I'll be honest with you, the only social media platform I'm on, I do a little bit of Instagram, and I don't post anything. But so I found out a long time ago that I'll just tell you a little bit about me. In my old nature, I was extremely competitive. And if you're a competitive person, comparisons are not good, especially in the church world. You don't be looking at I need to make decisions led by the Spirit of God, not decisions led by what some other preacher's doing somewhere else. And when we first started the church, before social media ever became a thing, I used to have someone all the time. They would come up to me, and they would remind me about a ministry couple that Joy and I knew, who were about our age, that started a church right after we did. And their church got bigger, and they were on television. And they were always coming to me going, hey, so-and-so, they're on television. And their church is like X amount of time. And always, I guess this guy felt like this was his job. His calling from the Lord to tell me what this other guy was doing that I wasn't doing. So finally, I just shut him down. I mean, because he looked at me like, you're like, why aren't you doing that? I finally looked at him, I said, he's more anointed than I am. That shut him off. He didn't have anything to say. Here's what's interesting. The guy's not even in the ministry anymore. Divorced his wife, went off the deep end. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. And we don't know everything going on behind the scenes. Not everything that glitters is gold. I'm at the age now where I'm blessed by young preachers that come up. A lady I heard, she said, I'm blessed, but I'm not impressed. I want to know about your life. So the comparisons, if they bother you, if they get at you, stop. It's not helping you. Or if it's feeding an area in you that you don't need to be fed. And some people go, yeah. There are some ministries who feel like it's their calling in life to tear other ministries down. That's their calling. Now, I don't want you to say, people say, well, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? I don't even get involved in that. Romans 14, verse 7 says this. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master, he'll rise or fall, and the Lord's able to make him stand. It's above my pay grade to judge other ministers. You say, well, I don't like what they're preaching. Then do not watch. We have the ability to cut things off. But if you have, my old nature was, I was extremely critical. Grew up in a critical family. I was critical. I had opinions on everything. I'm critical. And one day I said something about somebody I didn't even know. I just criticized them. And Joy lit into me. I mean, she just pounced on me with both feet, not literally, but verbally, and just pummeled me. And I realized this is a problem. And I need to stop. And so I don't need to do anything that feeds that critical side. And honestly, neither do you. It's not feeding you. It's hurting you. So we need to ask ourselves, is this helping me? Or is this hurting me? And here's the last one. Well, you say, well, Alan, I just watch mindless stuff. Okay. Hey, I can get caught up in mindless stuff too. I'm amazed at YouTube's ability to capture my attention on things that have absolutely no value whatsoever. I'm watching some guy who, like, they do videos of him dancing down an escalator. I'm like, wow, this brother can dance. So I'm watching all this. I'm like, what am I doing? And here's, you say, well, you know, I just need some mind rest. Well, can I give you a scripture for that? You're going to like this one. You ready? Ephesians 5, 15, 16. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Making the most of the time. So I'm in this boat. I can be captivated by this stuff. And so I realize I have to cut things off. I have to get away from things. Like I said, I'm not on social media. I don't do that. Why? I don't need to hear a ton of different opinions. I just don't need it in my life. It's not helping me. Is it helping you? Because if it's not helping you, if it's hurting you, if it's hindering you, then stop it. Because we're impacted by what we see and hear. You got quiet. You still there? Like I can feel the enthusiasm. But this is, you know what? I'm old enough now to be fatherly. Let me just tell you. And in some of you, grandfatherly. But I care enough to help you, because we get prayer requests on so many people who are hurting and anxious and nervous and having mental health issues. And it's a real thing. And it's a real, listen, this is one of the keys to not having mental health problems, is controlling the input that comes in your life. If you get up every morning and the first thing you do is grab your phone and find out what you missed out and who's doing better than you and who's got something negative to say and who's tearing down someone, it's not helping you. But listen, you say, well, what should I do? Glad you asked. No, seriously. It's so easy to get caught up in that, and you realize, would we be better off if we just took some time to sit down and talk to the Lord or pray or read our Bible? Would it help us? Okay. Now let me do one thing before. I want to get to this before I go. I want to do something here. If you take notes, you can write this down. If you don't take notes, I want you to think real quickly of five things about you. Don't overthink it. Five things, if you were going to describe yourself, if you write them down. Five things about yourself. All right, you got your five? Don't make it, this is not an essay. This is just five things. Now here's probably what some of you, I'm going to go talk, here's what some of you wrote down. You probably wrote down some of your roles. Husband, wife, father, mother, grandparent. Anybody do that? You maybe wrote down some of your demographics, your ethnicity, your background, your family heritage. Maybe you wrote down your personality traits. I'm intense, kind, funny, quiet. Maybe you wrote your profile, your DISC profile or your Strength Finders profile. I'm a driver. I'm an influencer. How about preferences? Things you love. Sports. Food. Hobbies. Your list look a little bit like that? Okay. Now I want you to think of this. This is going to require, it's going to require you to think. I want you to think of five strengths that you have. And if you can't think of five, throw some weaknesses in there. People typically have a hard time thinking of five things they're strong in. Now, whether you wrote that down or not, I'm always was a note taker. By the way, just a note. If you do take notes, I take notes a lot of times on speakers. You know the reason I take notes on speakers? Not because I always go back and read them, but the more you write and listen, the more you retain. So it actually helps you. Here's the interesting thing. Those things may increase your self-awareness, but they're not going to be a catalyst for positive change in your life. I could go through a list of mine. I can go through strengths. I can go through weaknesses. It's not going to help me make a change. Now I want to give you five things that God says about you. Could you think of five right off the bat? Because these are the ones that will change you. So we'll run through them quick. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, 1 Thessalonians 5. Ready? Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. You realize one day that if you've ever been to a funeral and you look at someone in the casket, everyone walks up and goes, now if you're nice, you go, oh, they really did a good job with them. But everyone goes, that's not what they look like, because their spirit has left their body. One day this body is going to, you're going to leave this body. One day we're going to get another one. Amen. That's going to be a good day, because that one's going to be a redeemed, sanctified body. Amen. That won't get old or fat or have wrinkles. Glory. And then it won't get tired. Okay. You're a spirit, no pain. Yeah, no, you're a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. You know this one. You are a new what?
Creation.
You got that one, yes, you know that. You're a new creation in Christ. Here's another one. You are an overcomer because the Holy Spirit lives in you. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, overcome all the demonic forces in the world, because he who is in you, that's the Holy Spirit, is greater than he who is in the world. You are accepted by God, Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. If you've made Jesus your Lord, then you are accepted by God. You are not rejected. You are not a second-class citizen. You are accepted in the beloved. One verse says you are highly favored in the beloved, because you've made Jesus your Lord. These are five things that are true about you. Here's the last one. Actually, it's a double. You are redeemed and forgiven. Ephesians 1:7. In him, Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, I say, Alan, why did you do this? Why did you go through that? Because all the five things that you shared, that you thought about the first time, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm a husband, I'm a pastor, I have hobbies, I like sports, I don't like what the Texans are doing, but I like sports, and all these things, I have strengths, I have weaknesses, but the more I look at that, that's not changing me. That's not going to change me. You know what I mean. This is when we need to come outside of looking at our lives from such a limited perspective, and we need to come outside and look at what God says about you. When he's looked at Abraham and said, look at these stars, Abraham, God's looking at you going, you need to look at yourself through my eyes. Because what I see is a new creation in Christ, that old things have passed away. And what I see is someone who's accepted and highly favored. What I see is someone who is forgiven of all their sins in their past, and they're redeemed out of the curse of the enemy. What I see is an overcomer, someone with the living Spirit of God living on the inside of them. That's what I see. And looking. But here's the deal. You're going to have to take some time to look at that. So Abraham, every time he would walk out at night, he would see the stars. He's constantly looking at the stars. We need to constantly look at what God says about us. So we already know all that we are. Yeah, some of you wrote down. Some of you had a hard time coming up with five strengths. You're like, I know my weaknesses. But what happens is, looking at our weaknesses, even looking at our natural strengths, that's not changing us. But looking at what God says in here, this will change you. This will begin to do something different on the inside of you. You know, the answer, we work with our teens, and the answer they need so much is they deal with self-esteem, self-esteem, self-esteem. This is the best self-esteem book you will ever get. Because you begin to find out, this is what God says about me. That's what we need to tell these kids. Not what Snapchat says, not what Instagram says, not what all these platforms say that we are or not. We need to look in here. You're looking at me quiet. Do you get this? You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, a lot of times we spend time looking at things that do not help us. We need to, now, here's the deal. It takes effort to do this. See, that's the challenge. YouTube's easy. This is challenging. Right?
Amen.
The news is easy. This is challenging. And it requires discipline. I'll close with this verse here. Philemon 6. I pray that the participation, your participation in the faith, may become effective. That word effective actually means energized. Through knowing every good thing that's in us for the glory of Christ. Through knowing every good thing that's in us, New King James says, in Christ Jesus. How does our faith become effective? How does it become energized? When we begin to realize that we're not the same old person that we used to be. That you're not what your parents said or your ex said. You're not what your boss said. You're not what your resume says. What you really are, the real truth is, you are what this book says. And here's the beautiful thing about this. 100 years from now, you're still going to be what this book says. And all the things we see down here will have passed. It's going to be gone. I dare say, I don't care how many billionaires are working on it. 100 years from now, none of them are going to be here. And hopefully we're not here. I'm waiting for the come quickly, Lord Jesus. But these things are eternal. Everything we see and all this stuff, it's changing. Some of your roles will change. Some of your situations will change. This won't change. This keeps you strong. So we need to do what Abram did. We need to come outside. We need to step out of our little world. We need to step up and begin to say, God, thank you for what you've done in me. Thank you for what you did in me in Christ Jesus. Thank you for who I really am. And when we see you, when we see each other in heaven, we'll be there. I'll be there. You'll be there. We'll see each other. We won't be going, hey, that Texas offensive line is the stinkiest thing I have seen in a long time. Could you believe that? How many know we're not going to be talking about that? That won't matter as much. You know, 5 years from now won't matter as much. It's probably not going to matter much for the rest of the season, but it's not going to matter. What is going to matter is what does God say about us? And if we want to lift, if we want our lives to lift, we need to look at things that lift us up, not things that pull us down. And if you could spend some time. Listen, I challenge you. I challenge you to do things. I challenge you this week, just fast a little. I'm not saying just go completely. I'm just going dark. And no one's going to, I'm just a little bit. And when you're about to reach for it, you're about to go, just grab your Bible. Maybe you get your Bible on your phone, but get a verse. And say, Lord, this is who I am. Just try it. Just try it. And see if you don't feel better. Now, if you don't, come back in here next week. I'll give you your money back. This is a living book. And it can live in us. And it can make a difference. a big difference. Oh, y'all listen well. We've gone long. We're going to pray. Would you bow your heads just for a second? Some of you here tonight, you don't really have a relationship with the Lord. You know that. He knows it. But that can change in a moment. Some of you have been away from the Lord, and you know you need to come back. That can change in a moment as well. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're not going to have you stand up or come down to the front, but we're going to pray. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, you know what, Alan, I want the Lord in my life, or I know I want to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? We'll do that. Would you slip your hand up just real quick? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Great. Wonderful. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. But you can pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Online, if you're watching, if you're by yourself, pray this out loud. If you're with other people, pray it quietly. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you for their courage. Thank you, Father, that you have done so much. And we rejoice with those who come out of darkness into light. We rejoice with those who've come back home. And Father, we rejoice that you continue to work in us to will and do of your good pleasure. We give you all the praise for that. We thank you for what you're doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.